God has truly given us many blessings in our life. And today, the title of my message today is Words. And as I was struggling to prepare this message that I'm going to share today, no topic seemed to be right. And as I was trying to think of what I was going to share when I was originally prepared this message, I prayed about it. I even got two books and I read parts of two books, and as I was reading them, trying to come across a topic that I thought would be an appropriate thing to share, nothing seemed to be right. I listened to a couple of cassettes trying to come up with an idea of what would be the right thing to say, and nothing just seemed to be right. And so finally I just put aside my work on this message and got out my memory passage for that day, and I began to study my memory passage. And I'd like to share with you my memory passage. It was from Job 6:24-30. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? Do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of that one that is desperate, which is the wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, and look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. You know, God sees everything that we do, doesn't He? And if we tell a lie, even if nobody else catches us, He sees it, He hears it, He understands it, He knows it. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again. My righteousness is in it. Is there any iniquity in my tongue? I cannot taste, discern. Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Sadly, after I began working on that, a few minutes later, I started an argument with my wife. And then I wasn't ready to memorize anything, and I wasn't ready to work on a message. But our words are so important. Every single word that we share, every single word that comes out of our mouth is important. And I believe one day we'll give an account for every word that we've said. Whether it was a right word, a good word used in a right way, or whether it was a word that cut and caused great damage. And what I'm going to try to do today, or tonight, afternoon, what I'm going to try to do this afternoon is to paint you a picture. Now, I'm not going to use a blackboard and chalk, and I'm not going to use a computer and PowerPoint, but I'm going to try to paint a picture with my words of what happens with our words and how our words affect us and those who are around us. Because, you see, we communicate with words. Without words, there's no communication. I do a lot of writing, and when I write something, if no one reads it, there's not communication, is there? I speak occasionally. Well, I speak a lot because I speak at the church every week. But if no one is there listening to me, not just sitting there, but if you're sitting here and you're there, but you're not listening to what I'm saying, then there's no communication, is there? And it takes communication to have an effect on the lives of those who are around us. Our words are very important. They're extremely important. We use words to communicate with everyone. Those who are within our family, those who are outside of our family. We communicate with words. That's the primary way that we communicate, is with our words, either written or spoken, listening or reading. But that's the way that we communicate with everyone. Because communication has two sides, doesn't it? Because if it doesn't have two sides, then there's not communication. And, you know, our words... Scripture tells us in Proverbs 23:7. Excuse me. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then it also says in Matthew 12:34b, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when we hear ourselves speaking in ways that are not appropriate, when we hear ourselves in the store and we get angry because of what that clerk is doing or what that person is doing, we have to realize that it's not that clerk's problem, but that it's our problem, that we have a problem. The other day, I went to cancel a telephone service that I had in Mexico. And they said I couldn't cancel it then. That I had to go, I went to their main office. I went to the main office. Now, if you go to the main office of any company, you ought to be able to do exactly what you need to do, right? They said, no, you can't do that. You have to call us from your phone to be able to cancel this service. And I was extremely busy that day, and I was trying to get a lot of things done. And you know, when they told me that, I said, you mean that? I can't cancel this service here? This is your main office. I got mad. I got angry. I didn't scream for a long time. After a little while, I controlled myself. But I had to realize that there was something wrong in my heart. There was something wrong with me. Not them. Yeah, maybe there was something wrong with their company. They should have been able to take care of it there. But my reaction to that was extremely wrong. And we need to realize that every time we have an issue like that come up in our house, in our lives, whether it's in our house or whether it's out of our house, that there's something wrong with us. For Scripture tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody should have moved this box from up here. Did somebody lose their box? I think maybe we should see who lost their box before we continue with this message here. Oh my goodness. Maybe we should close this box and forget about it and go on with the message. There are some really incredible things inside that box. No, this box has to belong to somebody. We're going to see. Look at this. How many kids are in here? You're not a kid. If you're a kid, I'm a little baby. Somebody brought a pack of matches and left them up here. This is absolutely amazing. Are they yours? Look at with all these children in here and a pack of matches sitting up. I saw a bunch of kids just up here singing. You know, a little kid could get one of these matches and they could strike it and then they could go over here to the piano. No, that's the organ, isn't it? They could go over here to the organ. They could burn their finger. It is very dangerous to have matches in a homeschool conference with children. Dave, if you're going to have matches in your conference, that hurt. It hurt. Do y'all have rats in the church? No, I'm sorry, mice. There's a bottom mouth poison in here. It's good for mice to get poison, but with all these little kids running around here, the kids could get poison. Look, how old are you? No, this one. You tell me because she's not going to talk. She's six. A six-year-old, can you read that? No? I can't read it either because the print's too small. Probably if I hold it out here, I could read it. But if that little six-year-old girl, my finger hurts. If that little six-year-old girl took that poison, it'd kill her, wouldn't it? That is very dangerous to have around where there are so many people here. So, does anybody want to fess up with ownership of it yet? There are you? Who said me? You want the box, huh? Look at this. A sharp razor knife. Somebody could really, that thing is sharp. Somebody could really get hurt with that. That is extremely dangerous to have here at the church. We've got matches, we've got poison, we've got a razor knife here. This is really a dangerous box to be in the church, isn't it? I think I'm going to move this cord a little bit before I fall over it. Oh, man. Oh, man. I don't know if I'm not sure about this one. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure that we really want to take this next one out of the box. Are you sure? All right, how about you back there in the pink? Do you want me to take it out? You, the one who turns your head around looking to see who is in pink. You're wearing pink. Do you think I ought to take it out of the box? No? Okay, I'll leave it. That's incredibly dangerous. We'll leave it in the box then. Okay, we'll take a vote. Who wants me to take it out of the box? Okay, who wants me to leave it in the box? Okay, the people who want me to leave it in the box, go outside so you won't see what it is. Well, I'm sorry for this distraction. We'll get back to our message on words in just a few minutes. My finger still hurts. I think I'm going to try to get a hold of it from this side. Are you ready? There's a snake in it! Dave, you got to keep these kind of things out of this. Should I put this up on the table with the rest of them? Oh, wait. I'm sure the church won't mind me using this thing over here. Hold on just a second.
Remind me to get this out before Sunday morning.
We got matches. Oh man, we could have burned this place down. We could have killed a kid. We could have cut their fingers off. We could have somebody in the hospital right now. Oh man. What are we going to do here? I don't know if we should. Maybe we should just go back to the message now and skip this last thing. Okay. This is extremely dangerous. This next thing that's in this box. This next thing that's in this box, it has killed over the last hundreds and thousands of years. It has killed so many people. I need two hands, so I'm going to put my microphone down for this one. Y'all ready?
There's a sword in the box!
The samurai sword. So many people have been killed with these through the years. This is a real samurai. That's a real thing. I could start chopping on this table up here. You want me to show them, Dave? Okay, I'll put it back in the case. Okay. Real soon we'll get back. All these things in this box. Yeah, I'm looking at them. They have a lot of things in common. I mean, if we look at this box of matches, it could burn a building down, couldn't it? It could burn a forest down. I think I heard on the news somewhere just a few months ago that half of Texas or something was being burned up with forest fires. I wonder if they got started by a little match. they can cause extreme damage. Rat poison, mice poison, that can kill somebody. It can cause internal bleeding. If I could read you the stuff on it, I'd tell you all of the things that it would cause. Do not eat. Keep out of reach of children. Only for mice. That's funny. That could kill somebody. The matches, you know, in the fires, people get burned up all the time. The other day, a few months ago, I got burned on my arm here, just a little spot about the size of a silver dollar, and I can't remember. Of course, I can remember a lot of things, but I can't remember ever being in more pain than that little burn on my arm was. It was a really deep burn, and fire hurts. Imagine what hell would be like if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. But just that little spot, and the fire could have caused great damage here. The razor knife, somebody could have cut all these benches up. Somebody could have cut somebody else up. People could have been killed, maimed, and injured with this razor knife. That's absolutely amazing. And our little buddy that's here in this bag, maybe he should stay in that bag. Where we live, there are lots and lots of rattlesnakes. We killed one last year. We killed one that was from the floor about that tall. Actually, my neighbor killed him. This year, the ones that we killed were a little bit smaller. And you know, you want to always kill them. When I saw one, I wanted to let it go get away. And my neighbors told me, if you let it get away, then it'll catch you sometime when you're not looking. So if you see one, you got to go catch him and find him and kill him. Swords, they've caused great damage to people throughout the years in wars and battles and fighting and things like that. All of these things can be used in very bad ways. It can cause great damage to the people who are around us. There are also many dangers in handling these things. I lit a match to make an illustration, and I burnt my thumb, and it still hurts. That was a little pain. But all these things have many dangers associated with them. But they also have some good things in common, too. They can make our life better. I like steak. And my wife can light the stove to cook me a steak with the fire. I also like being warm, and I can light our little bitty heater that we have in our log cabin, and it's actually a gas light, but we use it as a gas heater, and I can light that thing, and it warms up the house, and it can make me nice and warm. And so it can help us in a lot of ways. A razor knife. We're in the process of building a new house, and I'm going to be putting up insulation. And once I put up the insulation, then I'm going to have to cut it with something, and I could use that razor knife. Nobody else claims it. I might as well take it home with me, huh? After all this, I doubt anybody's going to claim it. Our little friend here, take him out. You want me to take him out? You want me to throw him in your lap? Okay. Our little snake, let's see. You know, here in Texas, they make beautiful snakeskin belts and boots, don't they? They also use let's get him back in this bag. He scares me. They also use the venom from a rattlesnake to make anti-venom, don't they? to save lives of people who were damaged by the snake. A sword? Swords have been used to kill many people. But they've also been used to defend families and defend nations and to protect and to guard. So while all these things probably are less than appropriate to have up here in a homeschool conference, when you do your evaluation form, you can write that on your little box there. Don't have any more snakes at your homeschool conference or something like that. But they can also be used in very good ways. They can be helpful. There are many benefits when they are used well, when they're used right, when they're used in right manners, aren't they? Let's read a few verses. James chapter 3, verse 6. James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is as a fire, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among our members, it defiles the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. The tongue is a fire. No one can tame the tongue, James chapter 3, verse 8. No one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is full of deadly poison. Psalms 52, 2. The tongue devises evil like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. The tongue is like a fire. The tongue is full of deadly poison. The tongue is like a sharp razor. Psalms 140, verse 3. They have sharpened their tongue like a serpent. Adder's poison is under his lips. The tongue. The tongue is like a fire. The tongue is full of deadly poison. The tongue is like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. The tongue is like a serpent's poison. Psalm 64:3. They whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot arrows, even bitter words. The tongue is like a fire. The tongue is full of deadly poison. The tongue is like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. The tongue is like a serpent's poison. The tongue is like a sharp razor. That's not a razor. The tongue is like a sword. Let's get serious for a minute here. Parents, mothers, fathers, what are your words like? Not your words while you're in church, or a homeschool conference, or out in public. What are your words like at home? What are your words like when you're talking to your children privately in their home or talking to your wife? What are your words like when you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off? Children, what are your words like? Do you speak of good things? Or do you speak of bad things? Are you always whining and crying and trying to get your way? Manipulating in that way? Or do you speak kind and loving things to your brother or your sister? do you say to your brothers and sisters, how may I help you? Or do you say, get out of here, you little brat? How are your words? Day in and day out. Around those who you love the most. Around those who you want to win for Jesus Christ. How are your words? Are your words controlled by the Holy Spirit? Are they controlled by the Holy Spirit? Have you given that area of your life, that part of your body, over to control of the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost part of the belly. We are responsible before God and before our family to use good words. There's a common saying, Pueblo chico, chisme, grande, little town, big gossip. But you know what? I don't think it's just the little towns that have a problem with gossip. I think it's the Church of Jesus Christ. Would you pray for my sister-in-law who's committing adultery? She's not, but not mine. I wasn't saying that. Would you pray for brother so-and-so who's been doing this? Or, did you hear about sister so-and-so? What she's doing? No, good. We in the church must learn to control our tongues in the church itself. Because we are responsible before God, before man, and before our family for every single word that comes out of our mouth. Every single one of them. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Listen to that. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We are responsible before God and our families to use right words day in and day out, all the time, 100% of the time. And if we fail, we're responsible to go and ask forgiveness. First from God, and then the person that we spoke those words to. And if we're willing to immediately go ask for forgiveness, it gets a lot easier to do it right the first time than have to keep on going back and saying, I'm sorry I did that. And what words are good for edifying, for the edification of your family? The parent's example is of utmost importance. The correct use of the language. When we're teaching our children to talk, we need to teach them to use proper English or Spanish or German or Japanese or whatever the case may be. That's why I don't teach my children Spanish. I let others do that because I haven't quite yet figured out how to use all those words properly. You quit laughing. But we need to teach them to read and write. By the way, just in case you didn't know, now I'm from Georgia. I was actually born in Tennessee. And just in case you didn't know, y'all is a perfectly good word. You can teach your children that word. Y'all works. I mean, they even have a Spanish translation for it. Ustedes. the only translation in English for ustedes is y'all. We teach them by our good attitudes too, don't we? You know, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when we have bad attitudes, that means we have a bad heart. It's kind of rotten and stinky. And eventually those words are going to come out. So we teach it by our good attitudes. We should use kind words. Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Don't shout at your children. Don't yell and scream at them. I told you 1,000 times to clean your room. Now go clean it. Don't shout at your children. Like Jonathan Lindvall said, don't give them a second chance. Go clean your room. Okay, you didn't? Okay, you got the consequences. Go to my room. Or go to Jonathan's bathroom. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, that's where he said he did the discipline, physical discipline. Don't shout at your children. Don't scream and yell at them. It doesn't do any good. You know it and I know it. It might make us feel better for just a few seconds, but it really does damage, doesn't it? Don't gossip in front of your children or not in front of your children. Because if you do it not in front of them, you're eventually going to do it in front of them. Don't get angry. Control yourself. Calmate. Control yourself. Get calm. Don't get angry. Don't try to get even either. But don't get angry. Ephesians 4:31. It tells us, let all bitterness. You know, we talked about bitterness last night, didn't we? Or yesterday morning. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Listen to that again. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We need to use biblical words to edify our family. Do you read the Bible together? That edifies your family. Have a daily family prayer time in your home. Let your children see the answers to your prayers. Now, my children didn't see the answer to what I'm fixing to tell you about, but they'll hear about it right now. This morning, my wife ran to the store. My van is in the shop, and the shop loaned me their truck. And she ran to the store, and when she got out of the store, she couldn't find the keys. And she frantically searched everywhere she went. She went back in the store, went back to the restroom. She looked all through there. She went up to the counter. Nobody had the keys. Finally, after searching and searching and searching and couldn't find it, she called me. And after she called me and explained what happened, I didn't get angry this time. I did better this time than I did in Telmex. And I said, let's pray about it. I said, Lord, would you help Pam find those keys? It happened to be that Debbie Klein had come to the store to buy some supplies for the food. And so she had a ride back here, and she had a ride to go get another key. But, you know, in the middle of a conference, that's really not just an easy thing to take off that extra time to go do that. And I said, Lord, would you help us to find that key so that she doesn't have to do that? And she didn't find the key. So I called the shop and confirmed they had another key, and Debbie was going to take them. And she had a lot of stuff we had some visitors coming down and this week and next week, and she had bought a lot of stuff at Sam's, and it was in the back of this pickup truck. And so they had to start moving it all over to the bus. And there was one of the workers there came up, and just as they were just getting started. And he said, this is a long way to carry all this stuff from here over to where the bus is at. Could you just move the truck? And Pam said, well, if I could move the truck, then I wouldn't have to move the stuff because then I could drive it off because I'd have the key. And he said, well, where'd you lose your key? And she said, basically, if I knew that, then I wouldn't have to do it. And he said, well, what was the first thing you did when you got out of the truck? She said, I threw some stuff away in the garbage can. And they walked over and picked up the key out of the garbage can, and she got in the truck and left. God answered prayers. You need to pray with your children. You need to pray with your family. You need to let them see God answering prayers. I better not get off on that point or we'll never get done here. But God answers prayers. And I can tell you story after story in our own life how God answers prayers. Let Him answer prayers in your life. Pray for those little things and those big things. Allow them to read the Bible out loud to you. So that helps them to learn to read. It helps them to learn to pronounce words. And it helps get the Word of God in their heart. One thing that our family has done for many years is let our children listen to Bible on tapes. Most nights, until the power surge zapped our stereo, and when we get it fixed back up, we'll do it again. We would listen, put on Bible tape when they were going to bed. So that they're going to bed listening to the Bible tapes. And you know, one of my older sons memorized many, many, many chapters of the Bible listening to it on Bible tapes. If you know who George Saris is, who does he can do great imitations of George Saris because he's listened to those passages over and over again. And never, almost never studying them in the written form, but listening to them. And isn't it good that faith comes by hearing? And hearing by the Word of God? So make sure that you're getting the Bible, good words, into their hearts, into their minds. Memorize the Bible. It says in Deuteronomy 11:18, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them upon a sign upon your hand, that they may be on the frontlets of your eyes. Sounds to me like memorizing them. Get them there so they're constantly reviewing them. The truth is that our words will identify the condition of our heart. Our words will identify the condition of our heart. Our day-by-day words, not just the words that we speak here in the church or around other people, but our words in everyday life will really identify the condition of our heart. And I wonder if we might be able to make the same commitment that Job made. In Job 27:4, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That was the wrong verse, but it's a good verse. That wasn't in Job. That was Matthew 12:37, and we will be justified or will be condemned by our words. In Job 27:4, it says, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Could we make that commitment along with Job, that our lips would not speak wickedness, nor our tongue utter deceit? Let's pray. Lord, today we have heard your word. Help us to hear it not just with our ears, but help us to hear it with our heart. Help us not to have a heart of stone, but a soft heart, a heart full of love for you and for others. A heart that's committed to do the right thing. And may your word, may your precious word, change and revolutionize the training of our children so that our families will be able to impact churches, communities, and nations for Jesus Christ. And help it to begin with us, that each father and that each mother here would make a commitment to use right words. In your name I pray. Amen.